Good morning. Please have a seat. My name is Roger, and it is my privilege to lead worship today. Michael is at, I don't know what they're calling it this year. I usually call it Maritime Conference. What is it? Is it still? It is. Good. Some things don't change. We had a beautiful day yesterday. I just walked into the choir room to rehearse with the choir, and that was all fine. It was as usual. And then the chit-chat just started up, and it was a buzz with chit-chat. And that's what a fine day does to you. Doesn't hold you back. We have in our bulletin on the front page an item called the Acknowledgement of Place. And if you'd like to share with me. We gather in this place with gratitude, acknowledging that we live and worship on lands that are by law the unceded territory of the Mi'kmaq. May we live with respect on this land and in peace and friendship with its people. We light the main candle, I call the Christ candle, to acknowledge that God is with us in this place. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, all is one. The peace candle, acknowledging that in this world today, we strive for peace. And the third candle, recognizing all of those who work for peace. That being the police forces, the armed forces, UN peacekeepers around the world, ambulance drivers, firemen. We keep them ever in our minds. Whenever we hear a siren, we say a small prayer. Our opening song today is found in the Voices United hymn book number 402, We Are One. Every time I see the words opening song, I think opening hymn. It is a problem. Do I have a small one for the call to worship? I believe I may. Are you going to sit down? Come on up. Let me get you your... There you go.
Right there. God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to God.
Let us give thanks for the goodness of God.
We give our thanks and praise to God. Here, I have a hug. There. It's great when a plan comes together. The opening prayer, if you'd please join me, is next. Heavenly God, once more we gather in your name. Once more we came to learn and understand your way. Lend to us that which makes all things clear. Give to us that which will show us the simple truth. Let us see through your eyes and listen through your ears. Confide in us. Amen. And now look, there's the opening hymn. It is Christ Has No Body, No Body But Yours, More Voices, 171.
The reading this morning is taken from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone must possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation.
So how many children do we have here that would like to come up? I don't see a rug. Has somebody absconded with the rug? I honestly don't see a rug. So you guys all get to sit on the stairs, sit on the steps. And everybody come this way. No, you guys are good. You can chill. That's good. You know, there's a lot of you. This is great. I'm going to grab a chair. I won't steal that on you. So, how are we all feeling today? Good. What did we do yesterday? Have fun outside. Why? Because it was sunny. That's right. So that means that you guys used all your energy, all of it, and you have no energy left today, right? No. Okay. I want to talk to you about something that is kind of almost a forgotten word. It's tradition. Now, all of the parents and grandparents sitting behind me are going, oh, no, that's not a forgotten word. That's not going anywhere. But I want to talk about tradition. Do you guys know what tradition might be? Yes. Another word for holiday. Well, traditional holidays, yes. It's something that you do every year. Getting a lot closer. That's good. So I'll tell you this. Tradition came from repeating something we do every year, repeating the way we dress or the way we speak or the way we behave, maybe to one another. I'm going to give you a couple of examples, okay? The way we speak. If you were to meet somebody and it was a fellow who was maybe a grown man, 40, 45 years old, and his name was John Smith, and you wanted to say hello to John Smith, how would you say hello to John Smith? Any ideas? Well, I can tell you this. When I was a little boy, and how old are you? Seven. When I was seven, I was in England. Eight? You're actually eight? You forgot that you were eight? Okay. When I was eight, I was still in England. I was still in England. And if I was introduced by my parents to a Mr. John Smith, I would put my hand out to shake his hand. Shake my hand. and I would say, "How do you do, Mr. Smith?" Now, do you think you guys would do that? No? If I met a lady, it would be, "How do you do, Mrs. whatever her name is, Mrs. Brown, Mrs. Stevens?" And it was always traditional to work in that way. And guess what? When you were in school, Madison, what is your last name? Agnew. Well, if Madison was in school when I was a little boy, it would be Miss Agnew from the teacher. She wouldn't call you Madison. Call you Miss Agnew. And it was traditional and it was correct to speak that way to other people. Now, what are some of the other traditions? I said how we dress, right? Does anybody know what those are? See that? Anybody? Go ahead. What do you think? Buttons? Nope. Sorry, not a button. Yes? Not a tie. What is that? Right there. Here, I'm going to show you something. As long as, and I'm out of practice with this thing. Okay, you can have a look at it now. I'll tell you what it is. It's like a pin. It's called a cufflink. And we can go back. I got a chuckle there. We can go back in time to a time when shirts didn't have buttons. They didn't have buttons. They had cufflinks. They had links all the way down the front, and they were vest links, and then they had cufflinks here. And when I was a boy, we didn't have buttons on our shirt sleeves. We had cufflinks. And how would you like to get dressed every day with a shirt on like that and have to put those things into every hole? Not fun, right? You don't have one like that, but you have a shirt, though. So I'll have the cufflink back now. It'll take me about 20 minutes to put it in. So traditions, some of them are necessary to keep, and others change in time because people are good, like you guys are good, and now when you meet Mr. John Smith, you might look at him, and with respect, you'll say, "Hi, how are you?" Instead of, "Hello, Mr. Smith." Things change. But one thing that never changes, hasn't changed since 2,000 years. Oh, I think you have to be nice to people most times, but you're right. You're right. God is always being with us. God is always there. And we are Christians. And I think in Sunday school you learn what it is to be a Christian. I know that you do because you guys certainly show what it is to be a Christian. So, who is Jesus? Yes. Jesus is the creator of the world. Jesus is known as the Son of God. What is the Holy Spirit? Anybody? No? Anybody? The Holy Spirit. It's one of those enigmas, isn't it? It's one of those puzzlers. The Holy Spirit is the third part of God, the Trinity of God. The Holy Spirit is that movement, that feeling that we have in our heart to do something that is good. That time when we are trying to decide which way to go, and a little voice tells you that you can go this way. It's a good thing to do. So God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, they haven't really changed since Jesus' time. And traditions, they'll change. Rules will change. But God is always there. We all understand? Okay. Shall we say a prayer together? Okay, let's hold our hands together, whatever way you like. I go like this. Say, "Hello, God." God, we just heard that you've never, ever changed. We know that you like for us to grow.
We know that you like for us to grow.
And we know the way that you would like us to live.
And we know the way that you would like us to live.
Please be with us always.
Please be with us always.
We will be good.
We will be good.
Amen. All right, now I'm going to put this cufflink in before you guys go. And we have a hymn, and it is, look, I even brought my paper with me. I've got Peace Like a River. Now, if you guys can read, of course, it's going to be up there. But otherwise, if you can't read yet, it's a good idea to dance, because otherwise you're doing nothing, right? You've got to do something. Okay? So I'm not going to be able to read it first because I'm putting my cufflink on, so I'll dance with whoever wants to dance. Who wants to dance? Okay. Come on down here, buddy. We're going to dance. Okay, now I think that there's Sunday school today, so off you go. Thank you very much. It doesn't say special music, but I think here's a good spot. Okay. I was noting that. Tradition.
Sing a joyful song to the Lord.
So I know I've told you guys before, everybody here, at least once, that the readings had me going. This is no exception. I find this particular reading, and I'll say it, like I told the gals in the last row that I was going to be a grumpy old man on the porch today. So this is my grumpy old man on the porch statement. I always find this reading from Paul to be an exercise in pompous behavior. I think that Paul is a seriously interesting character. I mean, Saul of Tarsus was assigned to eradicate Christianity, to do away with Christians all across the land. And then he has an experience with God. And he turns and he changes. And the same zeal and the same energy that he had to do away with Christians, he applied to becoming one of Christianity's greatest leaders, greatest advisors. But here in this statement, it comes in three parts. First of all, he establishes, really, when you narrow it down in the first paragraph, that religion in itself is hope. It's hope. He says, we boast in the hope of the glory of God. And then he goes on to a statement that I remember so vividly from being a little boy in the Catholic Church and hearing priest after priest after priest pound on the pulpit and talk about how suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And what you're left with is hope. The second statement that he has is probably one of the most important statements for the message that I felt I must come forward with today. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, God, Christ, died for the ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. With the children today, you never really quite know where you're going with the kids. You have an idea of the message you want to get across, but you have to feed off and engage with the children because they are the wonderful energy that we have in this church. But with the children today, I needed for them to understand that traditions do fall away. They do die, much to my 61-year-old heart's chagrin. There are a lot of traditions I wish we still had. However, they're gone. We're in a better place now. But the underlying truth is that we believe in God and that we believe in Jesus and the teachings of Jesus. That is, in itself, what makes us Christians. People of Christ. So, Christ died for the ungodly. I mean, this was given to us probably 100 years after Jesus. It was written down. It was sent to a letter to the Romans. Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for sinners. You know, in the Catholic doctrine, it was said in the 1980s into the early 1990s, we're all picking on the Catholics. We're picking on them because we believed that what they were doing is just relying too much on being sorry. Just relying too much on the fact that Christ was crucified for their sins. We're sorry. To me, it didn't seem to be the proper way to get on with life, always being sorry. Can't live if that's what you look for. I prefer to think of Christ on the crucifix and dying on the cross as dying for our salvation And in salvation, there's always life. There's always life. And here we are. So I was struggling with the reading. Even the third paragraph gets into God's wrath. And if we were God's enemies, we would be reconciled to him through the death of his son Jesus. So once again, Paul is telling us that God didn't die for our salvation, ours, Christians, we believe in God. He didn't die for us because we're already there. We believe in God. We're with Jesus. He died for the ungodly. He died for sinners. And here, if we were his enemies, he died for them. So we know, because we've heard it enough times, we've witnessed it enough times, that people turn, they change. So I started to really struggle with what sort of message is this for a congregation? What message is this for a people of God, for Christians to take and to bear? And on Tuesday, on a drive taking my daughter to soccer practice, I heard a CBC program. It's called Ideas. I'm sure some of you have been listening to it. And there was a chap on there, and the topic was, atheism is reaching too far. And it piqued my interest, so I turned the radio up and sat while Sophia was at practice and listened to the one-hour program. It was an author, one of the vocal leaders of atheism in the world. Atheism, of course, is you don't believe in the existence of a god or gods, period. And I was listening through all of the university mumbo-jumbo, which can really get to you after a while, just that high education stuff. And what I got from it was one message, that this scholar, this author, was putting forward. The message stated very, very emphatically that we disposed of God, took him out of the equation, because we, as atheists, can care for one another. Okay, fine, I'm listening. But then we found out that we can't reach as far as we wanted to reach. We really want to care for the people of the world, but we really can't. And it was an eye-opening experience. It was a realization that we don't want to care for people who were members of terrorist groups and have turned to God. We don't want to care for those who have done or applied atrocities to the people of the world. That we can't, we don't have enough energy, we can't see ourselves caring and loving everyone in the world. Well, Christ died for the ungodly. That's the first statement there. And if you're not believing in God, that would mean you're ungodly. I mean, that's a grade 11 analogy right there. If you don't believe in God, then you're ungodly. If you're ungodly, well, guess what, folks? Christ died for you. Now, it doesn't get us too much further than understanding and hearing that word. Christ died for you. So where do we go with this? Well, here we go. It gets a little worse. It does. We have traditions that we did away with. Women don't have to wear hats anymore. That was a silly thing, wasn't it? Yes. Our creed, the United Church of Canada's creed, was rewritten. It was rewritten to more closely fit the hearts and feelings and spiritual life of the church. And part of it, just an ever so small part of it, was left behind. It says that Jesus is of God, so are we. It says that we follow the teachings of Jesus. But what it doesn't do that the old creed did is announce that Jesus was the Son of God. Now, this came from 1996 when our moderator had this kerfuffle with the Ottawa Free Press. That's fine. But one thing it does not say, it does not question the fact that we believe in God. 2013, it was only 6 years ago. And see, I've gone totally off script. But does anybody here know the name Greta Vosper? There's one, chuckling. Anybody else? You shake your heads if you don't know. Greta Vosper, out west, United Church of Canada minister, announced to her congregation that she does not believe in God, the existence of God, and she doesn't believe Jesus was godly. And what happened? I read with interest, great interest. I went into four different sites on Google and I checked things out. United Church of Canada was outraged, sort of. Well, you know, we're an open church. We got to look at these things. And they decided to come to an agreement with Greta Vosper, and Greta Vosper remains with the United Church of Canada. She remains. But the United Church of Canada is a Christian church. And being Christian church, it means that we follow Christ. Means that we believe in God. So how can this happen? And I was struggling. Until I had a relaxing moment where I realized we are a prime example. When I say we, I mean Cole Harbour Woodside United Church. We are a prime example of what it is to be an affirming, inclusive, open, worshiping Christian congregation. That's pretty simple. The United Church of Canada gives us, governs us in our behavior and our activities to a point. The United Church of Canada is an open church. What's the difference? If I said Mennonite or Quaker or Amish, these are three peoples who live in semi-seclusion, who close their doors, who build walls, who live on the outskirts, who encounter the real world only in part. They touch on this and they touch on that just for what they need, their necessities. They are not an open, inviting, welcoming church. Jesus' teachings for us, very, very simply, are to show others and spread the word to others about how to live, to love your neighbor as yourself. We believe in God. The United Church of Canada is an open church. An open church. Who allows Greta Vosper to have her church because she has followers. And why? Because Christ died for the ungodly. And it's our responsibility and our duty to show others through actions and words how to live a wholesome, valued life with God. You know, the author of the book, Atheism is Reaching Too Far, admitted that they as a people realized that they couldn't reach everyone in the world. But you see, just like the Avengers movie where Thor and Ragnarok, where they said, we have a Hulk. We have a God. We have God with us. And we do reach. It's not a question of whether we reach around the world. We reach. We can embrace the entire world, the entire world's population. We're not too full. We're not too concerned about all of those traditions that may fall by the wayside because we don't mind if women don't wear hats. That's a very, very silly rule. But it's just an example. There are many, many other examples that have import. For instance, the question, was Jesus Christ the Son of God in Mary's womb? Was he 2 years old, 12 years old, 30 years old when he became the Son of God? Really inconsequential. If we truly have given our hearts to God and follow the word of Jesus the Christ. By doing so, we can walk with and amongst the ungodly, the enemies of God, any of them. Because our work is that work that Paul describes, is the work that Jesus wishes us to do. And we are catchy. We're like a virus. It'll happen. So, I could belabor the point. Our church welcomes everyone. Anyone can and will be able to help mold our future. Traditions will change, but our creed, the one underlying fact in our creed, is that we believe in God. Atheists may not be able to reach and care for the world's people. We can, with God's help. We can because of God. Our governing body isn't a strict, rigid voice. It isn't Amish. It isn't Mennonite. It's compassionate and inclusive. That is not to say that they agree with the views of others, but they welcome the dialogue. We are preserving, we are persevering, we're building character, and we're living in hope for the glory of God. Thank you. That was a treat. Thank you. You brought the sunshine out again. We have sharing the life and work of the community, so announcements, please come and line up.
Just to let you know and remind you, there will be hot dogs in the hall after service. And surprise, there will be coffee and tea this morning.
Just a final reminder that meatballs and rice, Thursday is the meal at Hope Cottage, and Paul will accept donations up until Tuesday evening. Excuse me. Brenda and I are going to be away on Thursday, so if anyone's interested, would like to serve, if you could put your name on the sheet outside with your contact information, Paul will get in touch with you. Okay? Thanks. Bye.
So today's the last day of Sunday school, but we'll be running activity times for the kids throughout the summer. We're looking for volunteers that would be able to run or lead a Sunday or two throughout the summer. And this could involve organizing a game, craft, or story time. So if this is something that interests you, there is a sign-up sheet outside, so please let us know. And another reminder that in June 22nd, we'll be having our last Families Connect night evening, and we're having a potluck, kickoff to summer. Everyone's invited, and again, there's another sign-up sheet. So please, if you're going to come, and I encourage everyone to come, please let us know what your what you plan to bring. Thanks.
Good morning. We are up here probably for the last time until next year. So we just want to say thank you to everybody for all the maple syrup sales, especially people who did group orders. That really helped out. And I think we finally have a number. Yeah. Do we have a number of our profit?
So the benchmark was Maurice last year. I think it was $2,600, about $30. We're above that, but what's sitting in my bag beside me is enough to put us over. So it's not very much. If you want to grab a little bottle of syrup or a cream or a butter, I've got it, and that should put us over. We should be at $2,644, I think. By the end.
Thank you.
So if you haven't figured out, that was a plug for tonight. We won't be doing that piece. But I think it's been since February 2006.
February 2005.
No, couldn't have been, because I started 2005. Yeah, so it would have been February of 2006 where we first started doing concerts here. And that was pretty much when I first started into this whole music thing. And this has been a glorious place for me to grow as a musician with each concert. And I think Charles mentioned last week, but I'm heading off to Montreal, to McGill in September. To study with some more people for a year and get some more ideas and bring them back here. But we just wanted to thank you. We're having a little do tonight. Admission by donation. It's going to be a fabulous evening of music. We've been working hard at it. So it's going to be, if you can make it, please come. We'd love to have you. Tonight, 7:30.
And Tuesday night at 7 o'clock is Church in the Pub at Gord Rose's place for all the men. Apparently the number's been dropping off lately, and we're looking to finish big, so if you could come out, come on out.
Our offering will now be taken. Is there a minute for mission? So we'll do the minute for mission right after the offering. How's that? Good. It's missing here. One for you. One for you. Okay. Lord, please take these, our gifts, and those received through PAR, and put them to your good work. Amen. Thank you. So we have now the prayers of the people. No, we don't. They're walking backwards, aren't they? Yeah. It's okay. As a document, this was flawed in the beginning, so I can put a couple of smudges on it. I'm going to sit down and listen to the mission.
I want to say that the title of this week's is A Place of Worship, A Place of Hope.
Our gifts for mission and service support displaced people in Canada. Dr. Kathy Yamashita reflects on what it means to be a Japanese Canadian in light of the Japanese Canadian internment camps during World War II and the support of mission and service of the United Church of Canada that works with the small Japanese United Church to grow into the multicultural church it is today. The relocation camps were in the interior of British Columbia and in southern Alberta, where those in the camps did hard labor, sugar beet farming. During this time, the United Church of Canada supported Japanese people through the Board of Home Missions Program. We had missionaries who helped us with high school education, as the province only provided elementary education in the relocation camps. They helped us to remain as a Christian community that supported each other through those difficult times.
After the war, those who were of the Japanese congregation in southern Alberta continued to worship together and eventually purchased an old hall in Lethbridge, Alberta. As time went on, the Japanese United Church was less dependent on the Japanese language, and thankfully, with support from mission and service, it has grown into a multicultural United Church. We worship in English, we are now financially stable, and value mission and service, remembering the help we received in the past. Through reading minutes for mission and church, we have learned of the good work through our giving for mission and service. If mission and service giving is already a regular part of your life, thanks so much. If you have not given, please join us in making mission and service giving a regular part of your life of faith. Loving our neighbor is at the heart of mission and service.
That was worth it. I don't have a Voices United up there, so I'm grabbing one. I'd like for everybody, please, to bow your heads. We're going to say a prayer, prayers of the people. But at the same time, at the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer, I'd like you all to turn to page number 918. So that we can read our creed together. That's 918. Let us pray together. Precious God, through the words of your Son, Jesus, we learn how to move, how to live, how to engage with others. Terms like ungodly, enemies of God, these are terms that we don't commonly come to grips with, but with your help, with your guidance, we can become strong, sharing, compassionate, loving, and caring to everyone. There are difficulties in the world, a word that pales in comparison to the effect of climate change, the effects of falling economies, like in Venezuela. With your help, with you standing beside us in Jesus, with the guidance of the Spirit through us, we can support and comfort and make right and rebuild and give a safe place for others to live in where they have not had one. Here at home, in Canada, in Nova Scotia, here in Cole Harbour, we have many whom we wish to pray for, who we keep close in our hearts, who we think about regularly, often. It is not without you, God, it is with you that we are able to give them comfort, to support them, to help them through a journey in illness, to bring them out of mental anguish. We are the safe haven, the warm place, the comfortable place. We want to remain and stay that place where solace is found. And in the words that your Son taught us, we now pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now, from page 918, the New Creed. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to recognize and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. And now in Voices United, hymn number 7, Hope is a Star. Oh, I have one.
Oh,
May God go with you today. May he and his strength be in you to be passed on to everyone you meet. Amen.